clear of the closing doors, please.
Welcome to Subway Sports Talk. My name is Peter Kennedy, and I am your host. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in to SST on Apple Podcast app, Spotify, and on YouTube. Also, don't forget. I don't know. I'm off to a bad start. Reminder. There we go. You can also watch the podcast on Spotify. Not my best work on the intro, but what is the best is perhaps the best picker of the Subway Sports Talk podcast. Joining us today to talk some football, Cody O'Connor, 3-0 again. Now back in first place in the picks contest for Subway Sports Talk. How you feeling?
Well, Pete, you know what they say. You can pick your friends. You can pick your nose. You can pick good bets. You can pick bad bets. We're taking the good ones right now. So off a 3-0 week. And since I get to come on here right afterwards, I have to toot my own horn because those might be the three best bets I'll make all year long. And I'm talking about the fact that I take the Niners -3. They win 34-3. Never a sweat. Then I've got the Browns and the Vikings both getting points, 12.5 for the Browns, Vikes 8.5, 21 combined points. It could have been a money line parlay. And then I have an alternate over in the Texans-Bengals, which was somewhat in the balance, but ultimately a smooth, easy cover with the Broncos +14.5. And again, won outright. So I came on a couple weeks ago when I went 0-3, and I told you I made bad picks that week. There was no excuses, bad picks, bad bets. Not bad beats, bad bets. And I know how quickly this can turn. So I'm going to give myself the credit while I've got it, while I'm reigning at 3-0 off of three good picks, feeling good about the process. So 19-11 feels good, Pete, I got to admit.
And it should, and you deserve it. And I think on our little social media breakout video that I made on Saturday or whatever, I think I posted on Saturday, I said, even though I technically had a better record than you at the moment, I said that you've been the most consistent better on the show so far this year. And I think that's because other than that one week where you really didn't feel like you made good bets, you have just made good bets and you've put together 2-1 after 2-1 after 2-1. I've had the 0-3 now. I've had the 3-0s, the 1-2s, but I had more 3-0s, but more 1-2s. And you've just been 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 3-0. Like it's been pretty, really consistent and you do deserve some credit. But on the flip side, like you said, it can flip in an instant. Yes. I feel like a disaster right now. I feel like I don't even know how to pick a football game anymore because I went 0-3. And I'm like, wow, I suck. I'm just terrible at this. And that's how much it changes because I'm still, I'm now 17-12-1. Still a solid record. Nothing to be ashamed of. And I feel like a loser.
After my 0-3, I felt like I was just soul searching, looking for answers, you know, walking around like God knows what's going on in the NFL anymore. But you know, you get back in the lab, the NFL keeps going, and you're quite the modest host there, Pete, because I didn't see the breakout video first. My buddy pointed it out to me. LJ saw it and he said, "Oh, I saw you were the considered the most consistent gambler on the podcast." I said, "Oh, I didn't see
Well, I was talking about volume.
Got to Instagram, got the check. Okay. I don't care. I'm taking most consistent. But, I mean, you had the record ahead of me. And that was your first 0-3. And this is 11 weeks in? So you've been right there. You'll be right back. Who knows? The other two could catch me before the season's end. There's a lot of ball left. But this was a good week, I have to admit.
A lot of game to be played. Mark went 1-2. I think Pat went 2-1 because the Bills didn't cover his portion, right? He had the Bills money line, I think. Yeah,
so 12 that was men tough in the for him. Field just killed Patty B. That is just a tough way to lose. That's a bit of a bad beat. I'll give him that.
That's a bad beat, 100%, because that was one. I mean, granted, it was also a 40-yard. It wasn't like a 57-yarder, but nonetheless, like he had it one other than a penalty. That's baseball, Susan. But let's get to our stuff here today. Cody O'Connor, Pete Kennedy here on Subway Sports Talk. We're going to be talking about the NFL as well. And we're going to be talking power rankings. We're going to do right now, this season, what's going on in the world of the NFL in 2023. And power rankings, obviously, we just need to give a little bit of context here. This is about what's happening this season. It's not just about the best statistical case. It's about who do you think is the best team at this moment and moving forward. Right, Cody? Is that a fair way to say it? This moment, moving forward, who's the best team? That's what we're doing. So just because there's a team that's number one in EPA per play, that doesn't mean they have to be number one, right? Everyone understands that. Do I need to explain that further, Cody? Do you have anything to add on the context here?
Now, the way I took it when we talked just a little bit ago before we started recording was who the best teams are and who you think can win the Super Bowl. And we're going to kind of try to list those out and give some type of an order and some type of a structure to the crazy NFL that it is, because that's what it's been of late.
And that's a good point to add, right? It's the Super Bowl contention. When you talk about power rankings, power is in the power to contend, right? So that has to play a part in it. If you think somebody is just a cutesy regular season team, but they're 9-1, that doesn't mean they have to be ranked above a team that's 6-3 or 5-4. If you don't think they're better, right? If you don't think they have the contender status that they deserve to be in that slot. So that's something that's always important. I feel like when you see on social media the breakouts of this stuff, which, you know, I hope to get some hate. We got some good feedback and some good love and hate on our quarterback tiers last week on social media. That's what we do it for. That's why we post it on social media, to get the conversation going. But the context is often missed on social media. So at least here on the podcast, you get to hear where we're coming from before we make these picks. One last note, and I said we were going to talk about a random basketball topic at the beginning of the show, but we're not. It's all good. We'll talk hoops plenty of times throughout the season. One last context for this particular run through by Cody and I. Way we're going to do it, we're going to alternate our slot, starting from 14 down to 1. Obviously, 14 was chosen because there are 7 playoff teams in each conference. We did not have to go 7-7. So this doesn't have to be 7 AFC, 7 NFC. Perhaps it might be. Perhaps it might not be. But when Cody says the 14th team for him, if I have that team on my list at a higher point, we will discuss that team down the road. So if you have your 14th team, I have them ranked 9th, we'll talk about them at number 9 and vice versa. All right. So with that being said, Cody O'Connor, 2023 power ranking starting at 14, going towards number 1. Who's your first team in the top 14 power rankings?
All right. It's the New Orleans Saints, number 14. And it's the fact that I think they're going to win the South, and therefore they will have a chance to win the Super Bowl. So I'm really hopeful that your 14 is not them. I think there's a team or two in the AFC that there's really probably 2 or 3 that could make the playoffs. And if they do, they could make some noise. There's that many teams in the AFC that are talented enough. And again, with how the NFL's gone, it's crazy enough that anything can happen any given Sunday. But I do think the Saints are going to emerge from the NFC South. And because of that, they have a chance. They're going to get a home playoff game if that's the way it works out. And so the Saints at number 14 to start my list.
So I do not have them on my list. So your presumption was correct. The Saints did not make my list despite me having their over for the season and still very much thinking they might hit that over. They're going to win the division. So I'm in agreement with you that they win it. When it comes to power rankings, I actually rank a team that might have a lesser playoff percentage to have a higher Super Bowl percentage, if that makes any sense. And I think you might understand where I'm coming from with that. Probably just a little bit of a difference in thought process. But yes, I do not have the Saints on my list. So glad to talk about them now. Let me ask you this question then. Do you have any trust in their offense to get right the rest of this season? Because I think their defense can be talked about from a perspective of like, all right, we know their defense is good. It's not amazing. It's not top 3 in the league, but it's a very solid, above average defense. The question is with the offense. Can they get on the right track, Cody?
How fun was it? I know this isn't the question, but God, how fun was it to watch Jameis Winston play football again this weekend? How fun was it to see him throw literally like a 60-yard pass all the way across the field, jump ball? I don't know that that's better, but my God, is it more fun? I know that's not the question, but I had to go right there.
I'll go with this. I saw a great, great meme about Jameis Winston, and it just likened him to Taco Bell. It says,
yes, I saw
you
this.
Know that it's not going to be a good idea in reality. But right now, it's really fun.
Right. That's exactly
Jameis Winston. Like, it may be next play. It may be 5 minutes after you eat Taco Bell. It may be the next day. You're going to regret it at some point. But when you're doing it, man, is it fun.
He's the best. Two picks, two touchdowns. But in all seriousness, I don't know how right they can get that offense. I don't think there's that much more. Like, they have very few explosive plays. They're a very dink and dunk type of team, which they can move the ball down the field. But as you start to get into the red zone and the field shortens up and it's tougher to move the ball, that's where you see a lot of field goals. But because of the defense, and mostly because the division they play in is so poor, the fact that they can make the playoffs, and, you know, as Giants fans, we always say this, you just got to get in the dance and anything can happen. A team can get hot at the right moment. I don't think they will, which is why they're 14th. And I really had them this way because when we did talk, I was pretty certain you were going to have it a different way, and therefore we'd kind of get to do both of these. So as much as I don't think they can win the Super Bowl, if you make the playoffs, you at least give yourself a chance. So that's 14 for you.
And you were exactly right because you read me like a book. And even though I'm pro Saints, I think I must have bet on the Saints, I don't know, 5 or 6 times this year already in our Subway Sports Talk picks. And I, off the top of my head, I maybe 500 at best. I know I've had 2 really rough beats with that, one of which being the push. This week, they, tough. You know, they lost this week and to the Vikings. Do you argue that Derek Carr getting hurt makes it better or worse? We kind of just talked about Winston as a joke, but he did add some spark and then threw picks. And just when you thought it was back, it was gone. So I don't know, whatever. Yeah. So I've bet on them a lot. I've watched them a lot. Just it lacks juice. And that's why it was so fun to see Jameis play for the Saints. But I can't put them above some of these other teams I'm going to get to just from a perspective of can they string together multiple games at this point? That's the real question mark for them. They're better than the Falcons. I've thought that all year. And mm-hmm. I think they're going to win the South, but can they string multiple games back to back to back? And that's what it comes down to in the playoffs. They can't even do it against the easiest schedule in the NFL right now. They're still a middling team from a lot of statistics, and they have the easiest schedule in the league. So I'll move on. Number 14 for me. How about the Los Angeles Chargers, Cody? Do you have them on your list?
I most certainly do not. And that's not even where I thought you were going to go, but the floor is yours, please.
Well, then I think I might have another team that you thought I was going to go that I'm going to go. But I'll take the Los Angeles Chargers at my number 14. And that is really a bet on you need to move the freaking ball in this league. And there's too many teams that you watch on a consistent basis that can't move the freaking ball, Cody. And I'm sick of it. I'm done watching these teams with maybe better records than the Chargers. Maybe this, maybe that. They're just not as good. And I know all the shortcomings. I know the Brandon Staley of it all. I know Herbert is a big punching bag for a lot of people out there because he's not winning enough games. However, I've watched enough Chargers games this year. They're talented enough, even with the wide receiver injuries, even with some of their defensive woes right now. They can put points on the board. They can get first downs consistently. They are going to be in every single game. They're 4-5 right now. It's going to be a struggle for them to make the playoffs. But when I look at the rest of this AFC, even though they're ranked 12th, technically, I see other teams that I believe that they're better than them. And I see teams at a certain point of the NFC that I believe that they're better than. They've lost some tough ones. They're going to continue to lose tough ones. This year alone, I mean, they lost a 2-point game to the Dolphins, a 3-point game to the Titans, a 3-point game to the Cowboys. They lost by double digits to the Chiefs, and they lost by 3 to the Lions. Is that team complete trash? Not to me. They're too close. They move the ball too well. They do too many good things to be overlooked. It's not going to be easy for them. Their schedule is a little bit difficult, a little bit easy. It's kind of like a grab bag, right? You get the Packers, that should be easy. You get the Ravens, that's tough. Patriots, easy. Broncos, meh, somewhere in the middle. Raiders, easy-ish, easy-ish. Bills, tough. Broncos, in the middle. Chiefs, so like they have some winnable games here. It's going to be tough for them to make the playoffs, but I just believe with my heart of hearts and what I've watched that their offense is enough to put them above some of these other teams that just struggle to move the ball.
I mean, all of that's true. All of that's fair. The Brandon Staley piece of it is probably what holds so many back. The fact that they could not get a stop when they needed to against Detroit. I mean, they literally couldn't get a stop at all. But the one thing that did bother me after that game was people still kind of jumping on Justin Herbert. It's like, oh, like here he goes, the social media quarterback again, and he can't win a game. And it's like, a lot of times I can lead that charge, right? I've said that about him, but I still really like Herbert. And that was just not the time to say it. He was unbelievably good. It was just a classic. Whoever gets the ball last is going to win this one. The guy can't play defense too. So, like, to me, that lessens the argument that you were trying to make about him not winning big games. Like, there's a couple of those, and I think one of the most famous ones in recent memory is Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes in that classic battle in the AFC divisional round where Mahomes gets him down the field in 13 seconds, kicks the field goal, wins in overtime. And it's like, can you really say that Josh Allen can't win the big one? Because he should have won the big one, and it had zero to do with him why he didn't. So I just found that argument weird this week to make against Herbert, who was unbelievable, and the offense does move the ball, and they are talented enough, but they are just the team that always seems to disappoint. And whether it's on the defensive side of the ball like it was against Detroit, or, you know, sometimes they find a hard time moving the ball when the defensive – like they can't – they can never – what's the term? Ham and egg, right? They can never yin and yang. They just always seem to let you down. But because of all the talent, they are exactly what you said. There's just – it's so hard to not believe that there's more there, because it's there. It's in front of you. They just have to go get it.
And they're very much the type of team that if I told you they beat the Ravens in 2 weeks on Sunday night, would you be shocked? Like you wouldn't.
Wouldn't be shocked.
They're good enough. They're good enough to beat everyone. Again, like they lost four games of their five by a field goal or less, right? That means that it's coming down to the minutia for this team. You could probably make statistical arguments that they could be higher than 14, but you know, the reality argument is that it's pretty hard to put them higher than that because you didn't even have them on the list, and other people probably wouldn't have them on the list. I'm probably going to get a comment on Instagram when I post this graphic saying, Chargers at 14, they're pathetic. They can't win nothing. It's like, yeah, well, they've been within one play of winning four of their five games against good teams, against teams that are ranked top five, top six, top seven probably on our list here, right? So I'm not counting them out yet. I think when it comes to the rest of their division, it's not going to be easy to get in that playoff, especially with the way the North's going to scrape up here. But that's what I got. So move on to your number 13 code.
Okay, 13. And let's say I do want to add two points of context. One, I do have 7-7 because even though we kind of said that didn't have to be the criteria, that's just how I ended up doing it, thinking who was going to make the playoffs because that's what you need to do to have a chance. And two, we did this in about 3 to 5 minutes right before the show started. So
hey, don't give away our secrets.
Somewhat with a grain of salt here. Number 13 for me is the Minnesota Vikings. Because, you know, we thought they were probably done for when Kirk Cousins goes down. And Josh Dobbs gets traded for. And I don't think any of us really took it that seriously. It's like, all right, they filled that plug. They could maybe squeeze out the 7 seed because the NFC is no good. But now they've won back-to-back games. They looked pretty dang good offensively against the Saints unit on defense that we just talked about very highly of. So, again, a team I don't think is going to win the Super Bowl. I'm not telling anybody I think they're going to do that. But I do think they are pretty firmly in a spot to make the playoffs in the NFC. And it's the same type of logic there. Make the playoffs. Now you have a chance to win the Super Bowl. Much better chance than the other 16 teams that are out. So that's my logic there. Vikings are number 13 for me.
I also do not have the Vikings. So I do not have the Vikings either. Yeah, so I don't have them at 13. I don't have them on the list at all. So another team of no crossover for us. And that might give you the giveaway that I don't have 7-7. Right. So those are the first two teams out, if you will, because of what you explained about them being more likely to make the playoffs than some of these AFC teams. But from the power ranking that I'm seeing right now, I had them right below. I probably had Saints 15, Vikings 16, if I had to make 15 and 16, but I don't have them. So the Vikings are a team that I bet against this week to a fat L, which stunk. I thought the Josh Dobbs thing would kind of come down to earth a little bit. I thought the Saints defense would give them more trouble, and it just didn't. He just made more plays. I referenced some statistics about Josh Dobbs that some of his efficiencies weren't great, and perhaps part of me looking at that number where I fell short on seeing those numbers were he was playing those first 7 games with a bad team, right? And now he's playing with a good team, with talent,
right?
Even without Justin Jefferson, even without KJ Osborne. He still has Addison, Hawkinson, and Powell, who's another good player. They were moving the freaking ball, you know? So I'm with you. Their defense has been a very pleasant surprise this year. They're top 10 from a yards per play perspective on defense right now, which is something you just didn't expect from this squad. But Brian Flores is getting the due credit that he deserves there. So I like it. I like it a lot. And, you know, they're first team out basically for me, but I do not have them in. So, yeah, right. I'll move on to you have anything to add on Vikings or no?
No, I'm okay. Just very curious where you went, because you probably have then 8 or 9 AFC, which I think power rankings wise is fair and makes sense. And I just want to know who you got.
Number 13, the Houston Texans.
That's where I was thinking. That's exactly who I thought you were going to go with first. You went with the Chargers, slight surprise, but not shocking. Texans were who I thought you were going to go with. So go ahead.
Houston Texans, number or tied for fifth right now in the NFL in yards per play. CJ Stroud just cooking, playing like a pro, playing like he's been around the block a few times. On top of that, their defense just been sneaky solid. They get some pressure from a yards per play perspective. They're a little bit more average, but they are ranked number sixth in the NFL in pressure rate. So they are making moves. They are playing physical up front. They're hitting the quarterback. They're getting some sacks. They're doing a great job with all that defensive stuff that is really game-changing type stuff. So their defense isn't great. They're giving up some yards. They're giving up some points here and there. But the pressure that they're creating is working for this defense. And with what they've done on offense combined with that, I just look at them in relativity to some of the other teams in the AFC and NFC that I trust them to be in more games, to have a better puncher's chance than some of these other teams. It comes back down to that offensive thing that I've been referencing. Can certain teams move the ball with consistency? I don't see it. I do see it with the Houston Texans. They ran the ball well against the Bengals this week. And, you know, Bengals run defense maybe hasn't been great, but they ran the ball really well. And you got to be proud of that performance out of them. And really right now, they're not turning it over. They're throwing the ball down the field. They're checking all the boxes that you would want from an offense right now. So Houston Texans, to me, puncher's chance when it comes down to true contention, but I think they rightfully earned their spot on this list.
Yeah, I have them off. And again, they were the team I hoped you had mentioned. The only reason they're off is because I think someone's got to be out in the AFC. That's really it. They played a very impressive game against the Bengals, where they were in a good amount of control. They were up 10 in the fourth quarter before a really bad interception by CJ Stroud led the Bengals back into the game. And then a drop by Tyler Boyd kind of opened the door for the game winning drive by CJ Stroud in that group. But he's now led, was it back to back weeks of game winning drives? And he's just playing with such confidence. I saw an all 22 video recently of the last game with him just hanging in the pocket so comfortably and going through his progressions, literally going from one side of the field back to the other, feels the pressure, moves back to the other side of the field, escapes the pocket, and then hits a guy in the back of the end zone. And it was a play that didn't even count, but it just, for a rookie to feel that type of comfortability in the pocket, to be able to deliver the ball and to be able to deliver in the big moments, and now against a big-time team who was on a 5-game winning streak, or a 4-game winning streak, I believe, in the Bengals, who, you know, people were starting to say, uh-oh, the Bengals are back, look out. And the Texans were able to take them down in Cincinnati. I know they didn't have T. Higgins, but that is a really, really great win for them. And now they're actually at a point where, I left a team. I just realized as I'm going to mention this, I completely left the team out. But that's fine. I'll squeeze them in somewhere.
There you go.
They are at a point now where they can really contend in the division, because they're, yeah, I think, a game back from the Jags and beat them in the head-to-head. And they have another game with them. So they go ahead and they beat the Jags in the next head-to-head matchup. And all of a sudden, Jacksonville is no longer so comfortable in the AFC South. So, and that's the team I just completely left off this list. And I didn't do it for any reason other than I rushed it and I forgot. But Houston, I love that pick.
Yeah, and another thing on Houston here, you talked about them playing the Jags again. Listen to their upcoming schedule, right? So they're sitting at 5-4. Their next couple games can make or break this season, and it looks pretty good in their favor right now. They get the Cardinals, which won't be an easy one with Kyler Murray back, but they got the Cardinals. They get the Jaguars this time at home. They already won in Jacksonville, so they get them in Houston now. Then they get the Broncos, Jets, Titans, then the Browns, Titans, Colts. All right, so we're looking at C.J. Stroud-led Houston Texans team. Are they going to be favored in more than half these games? I think they might be, right? Like they're going to be favored at home against Arizona this week, favored at home against the Broncos in 2 weeks, probably favored against the Jets slightly. It's in New York, so maybe it's close to a pick 'em. They're at the Titans. We'll see where the Titans are at in week 14. Browns will be tough, but then Titans again at home and Colts, right? So these games for the Texans are looking very reasonable to look for them to get a win. So I think looking forward for them to make the playoffs, we can actually see if the AFC North ends up beating up on itself a little bit, that maybe the Jags and Texans can both make the playoffs, Cody. There's crazier things that have happened in this world, and I think that's in the realm of possibility.
It is. Oh, man. I just completely fumbled this list. All right, whatever, number 12.
hit us, number 12.
Speaking of the AFC North, the team I had preseason to make the playoffs are sitting at 6-3. They're the classic, how do they keep getting away with it, right, Pete? I think you even said it on the podcast, but the team who has been outgained in all 9 games, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin, and the find a way to do it, Pittsburgh Steelers. It doesn't make any sense. If you're looking at numbers, the stat nerds, quote unquote, are furious with this team because they are just poking all types of holes in their logic. But they are finding a way every single week, whether it's the defense. This week they got a little bit of offense from Kenny Pickett and beat the Packers. And even though it was close, even though it was ugly, that's how they're winning games. And I think they're going to make the playoffs. They're probably at the point now at 6-3 where 4-4 is almost it's a pretty much a guarantee you're in the playoffs, right? You get to 10 wins, you could all but guarantee that you've made the playoffs. So 4-4 from here on out is what Pittsburgh needs to do to make the playoffs. Same theme for them. I don't think this team is good enough to win the Super Bowl, but I haven't thought they've been good enough to win a lot of the games they've won. And so that's why I have them slightly ahead of the other teams here on the list at number 12. And same thing. I think they make the playoffs. And when you get in, you get the chance. You get to do the dance. And let's see if Kenny Pickett and the boy could keep dancing down there. It is – I mean, I said it just doesn't make any sense. But no. 6-3.
I don't have the Steelers on my list.
That's good. That's probably good.
So we haven't had an overlap yet, actually. We don't even have – like the 3 teams that you've gone – I don't even have on my list yet. So no overlap at all, which shows where we're at with this season right now with the NFC and AFC and kind of what's going on with some of these teams. The Steelers, like you mentioned, I'm not going to go through it all. They've been outgained. They've been outplayed. They've been out everything, and they're 6-3. It makes no sense. Their point differential is minus 26. They have a negative point differential this year, and they're 6-3. They've only scored 156 points the entire year. Do you know who that puts them in the same category with? The New York Jets, the Tennessee Titans, the New England Patriots, the New York Giants. Actually, no one's in the Giants category. They're so much lower.
Thanks, but I don't think
the Carolina Panthers, the Cardinals. The Cardinals, Rams, Packers, Falcons have all outscored the Steelers this year. Right. And yes, of course, defense matters. I'm not going to say it doesn't. That's clearly why they're in so many of these games. They've only given up 182. That's great. They can't freaking move the ball. They can't score, and yet they win. I don't get it. I want to say it's going to fall off. And this is probably me being too prideful to keep them off my list here because their schedule is pretty reasonable. Like you said, 4-4. They have 4 winnable games in this schedule, 100%. They're at the Browns, which will be tough. They're at the Bengals, which will be tough. Then they get home Cardinals, home Patriots. Those are 2 winnable games for them, even though, again, we'll see what happens with the Cardinals. At the Colts, which the Colts are competitive, right? We'll see what happens there. Then they get the Bengals again, Seahawks, and Ravens, okay? So I'd say that if that played to chalk, they'd probably end up more on the 3-5 range than the 4-4 range. But clearly, the Steelers don't care about my chalk. They don't care about your stats or nothing. It just doesn't matter with this team. So their schedule's not super favorable. They've had a bunch of home games already. I do point to the fact here, though, Cody, I don't really see many impressive wins on their 6 so far. So here are the teams that they've beaten. They beat the Packers last week, the Titans. Then they lost to the Jaguars. They beat the Rams. Then they beat the Ravens. That's impressive. And they beat the Browns in week two. Okay. And they beat the Raiders. Not very impressive wins for the Steelers. And a lot of those games, they probably shouldn't have even won anyway. Right. So I just can't get there with this team. I want to see their guys succeed. I love some of their skill guys. I'm loaded with Pickens and Jalen Warren on my fantasy teams, even Deontay Johnson. And it's just so frustrating to see these guys not get the usage they deserve because their offense stinks. And yet they'll probably win 10 games, like you said.
I'm counting them down. I mean, like I said, I've got the future on them, and I'm just trying to map out how they can get there because it's ugly every week and it doesn't make sense and it doesn't seem sustainable. But sometimes, you know, you just have anomalies in the league. And I think it's a lot of credit to Mike Tomlin too. Like, it's not, you know, we say this and I know you believe this too. Like, it's obviously not all fluke. It's the fact that, you know, in big moments of these games, they're making the big plays. You know, games are win and loss on the margins, and they've done their job to sometimes snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. So go Steelers.
100%. All right, number 12 for me. I think you're going to have this team on here. I think this will be our first one where we're overlapped. I got the Seattle Seahawks number 12. Do you have them on your list?
They are on my list.
There we go. Wait, you got them above?
However,
well, clearly
down above, higher
rank. You got them at a higher rank?
Yeah.
A better rank?
yeah, a better rank. Thank you.
Okay, so we will not discuss the Seahawks much yet. We'll wait until you get to them on your list. Okay. But I got the Seahawks at 12. So go to your number 11.
All right, overlaps I think are going to start flying. Yes. Number 11, I've got the Cleveland Browns, AFC North.
Okay.
Sticking with them.
You got also have the Browns on my list, and they are a bit higher than 11, so I will jump to my number 11. And this is clearly a team that you don't have unless you shoehorned. I got the Jacksonville Jaguars at 11.
That's what I had to do. And so now I have them. We're close to them. They're a couple spots down still.
Okay. So what do you got for number 10?
So number 10, I've got Miami.
Dolphins. Okay. Oh, yeah. My gosh. Look at that.
And so what I had to do in order to get the Jags in was take out the Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
And I don't necessarily love that I did that, but I do think Miami's going to end up winning this division, whether they win impressive games against good teams or not. They certainly win the games that they're supposed to, and the Bills haven't done that, and they still Correct. Haven't done it. And at some point you wonder, can they actually just turn it around? Because they're just giving the ball. I mean, last night they turned the ball over, what, four times? Two fumbles mm-hmm. and two picks. And they still move the ball up and down the field. Their defense actually looked pretty good last night. It was the field position that Russell Wilson and the Broncos were starting with that was really, really hurting the Bills because eventually they're going to score, right? But I took them out, and I have Miami at 10 because I do think they're winning the division. And you talk about a team that can move the ball. When they've got it rolling, they're as scary as anyone in the league. And let's not forget that A-Chain is coming back, and that offense with that guy in it looked a heck of a lot different than it has the last couple weeks. So he's going to come back. He just adds another speed factor, another guy that defenses have to scheme for that – you probably underestimate his speed the same way you underestimate Tyreek's and Jalen Waddle's and even Raheem Mostert because the Dolphins just fly all over the place. So, you know, I said early in the season I thought they were a real team. They have proven that they can't beat the real teams, and I think that puts them on fraud watch. But I think they win this division ultimately. They've got a game up, and I think they're going to be the team to win the division. So, from the South, I went with them. Who knows?
Yeah, and so just to recap where we're at right now. So you went with the Steelers at 12. We talked about them because mm-hmm. I didn't have them on my list. Then you went Browns 11. I have them higher. You went Dolphins 10. I have them higher. Okay. You took off the Bills. So that brings me to 10 for me. Mm-hmm. I had Seahawks at 12, Jaguars 11, and Bills. I have Bills at 10.
Okay.
So I have the Bills in. I have them at number 10. And it kind of comes back to this idea of when it comes to the next game, what are we going to truly expect from any of these teams, right? Mm. And even with the Bills' shortcomings, even with what they've done to just lose games, they are still talented. They are still moving the ball. They are still able to do stuff that a lot of teams just can't, right? So I'm giving the Bills the benefit of the doubt. I do think the defense can look at that as a positive performance last night or Monday night on the win. So I'm keeping them in the list, but them being at 10 is about as big a disappointment as they could have imagined, right? Like, you don't even have them on your list right now. Perhaps that's semantics at this point with the Jaguars shuffle.
Yeah,
but the Bills being anywhere between 10 and 16 is a huge disappointment for them. But to me, they deserve the benefit of the doubt. They're number 3 in yards per play on offense. They're still moving the ball. The turnovers for them has been just astronomical. We do know that turnovers tend to be a little bit of a variable, less than a sure thing. So if they're fumbling right now, if they're throwing more picks than they should be, Josh Allen threw a bunch of picks in this year already, I think that will regress to the mean in a positive way for the Buffalo Bills. And every single week we go out to watch the Bills play, they have a chance to beat anybody still. And that's why I still think it's important to have them in the power ranking. I know their shortcomings. I know that their lackluster game management down the stretch has been really detrimental to their record right now at 5-5. They just fired Ken Dorsey, the offensive coordinator. We'll see if that lights a spark on this offense at all, because we've heard people talk about it, right? People who are watching this team and talking to the coaches, they believe that McDermott is calling a defense to save the offense, or the other way around. They were calling an offense to help the defense. And in fact, they need to lean in harder on the offense. And I think that's part of what this firing is going to do. They were nervous with all the injuries they had on defense that they couldn't do what they've been doing, right? So they were calling offense to counteract and play safer. And that's just not where their strength lies. And I think firing the OC is the icing on the cake, letting us know that they're going to now go full throttle when it comes to the offense. And the offense has still been good by so many metrics. Mm-hmm. So I'm riding with Josh Allen to some extent. I mean, I got them at 10th. It's not that great for the Buffalo Bills, but I'm riding with them. I'm riding with this offense continuing to move the ball and put up some points, and this defense hanging on and continuing to still be competitive even with the injuries.
Yeah. I mean, again, if I redid this list, another team would have been bumped out. They would have been on the list 100%, but I had named Saints, Vikings, Steelers. And then at that point, I didn't think I could put the Bills over some of the other teams I had, because, you know, and right. I clearly you kind of think the same, right? Even though all those points are just made,
still down
you
on them. It,
you have them at 10, and, you know, they just haven't looked like themselves. There's the weird stuff with Stephon Diggs right now, and just whatever's going on there. So anyway, I digress.
And now,
we're at 9.
Yes, before you go with your pick here, though, one more thing on the Bills. You could almost guarantee now Stephon Diggs getting 14 targets, right? Like, his brother's tweeting that get 14 out of there, all this stuff. They fire the offense coordinator. Stephon Diggs getting peppered in their next game.
Yeah.
Has to happen.
And we're,
right?
We're taking it. We have to, right?
And we're taking it. Yeah. And on top of that, too, like, I think it says a lot about the Bills that I'm, like, making these lofty arguments for them to just put them at 10.
Right.
So I think the fact that I am trying to fight so hard to prove that 10 is a worthy spot for them says more than all the stats that I've kind of mentioned anyway. All right, continue. Number 9 for you.
Okay. Number 9. I had to squeeze him back in because I do ultimately still think they win the division. I don't think this walloping that they just took from the 49ers is necessarily an indication of things to come. I think it was just they got a team off a bye who had lost 3 in a row, who were getting healthy and were probably pissed off, right? And they ran into a buzzsaw there. But I still like Jacksonville, so the Jags are the number 9. And they're 9 for a couple reasons, right? 9 is an okay spot. It means I do think there is an outside-ish chance right above the other teams, but they're just too inconsistent still. And specifically, Trevor Lawrence is inconsistent. And I didn't think he was the type of guy that needs all his weapons, but without Zay Jones, and I don't know that they're getting Zay Jones back anytime soon, they seem to have a struggle scoring the ball when they get down to the red zone. Zay Jones has been a big red zone threat for them. He's a good guy that he looks for down in that area, and it's just, again, it's been inconsistent from that team. Now, San Fran played a hell of a game. They, again, look pissed off. They're flying on defense. ETN never got it going. Trevor Lawrence really couldn't get comfortable. I don't fully take that game as an indication of things to come for the Jags, like I said. But, you know, the reason that they're not any closer to the top tier of this list is because of the inconsistencies that we've seen from them. And their division definitely still hangs in the balance. I still am worried about the bet that I have that has them and the Chiefs to win the division parlayed. It's not the Chiefs I'm worried about. It's the fact that the Texans own a tie break and have another head-to-head and seemingly have really good history with Jags. So that makes me nervous too. But Jags are number 9.
So I had them at 11. And looking at it right now, could I flop the Bills and Jags and put the Jags 10, Bills 11? Absolutely. Splitting hairs, though. And I think that goes to the point where, like, I made arguments to put the Bills at 10. You're making arguments against the Jags while you're holding them back. And I think, again, that says a lot about where they're at. I just heard Ben Solak from The Ringer, who does a great job breaking down football, tape, stats, everything. He's really good, really smart guy. He's been just like going off on Press Taylor, the offensive coordinator for the Jacksonville Jaguars, just saying how Doug Peterson gave play calling to Press Taylor and how it's just not been the same. They're not stretching the field. They're not moving the ball vertically down the field. And Trevor Lawrence last year in his second year was such a machine at just making the right decisions while still being aggressive. And to this point, he's not making the right decisions because there's not even really an aggressive option out there for him. The Ridley thing hasn't worked out great yet. The Zay Jones injury obviously hurts. Engram's been a little more quiet, right? He's not hurt. He's just been quiet a little bit, right? No, he's just been
quiet.
Yeah, so he's just been quiet. I thought he was hurt for a second. So it's been quiet on their offense. Their defense hasn't, like, turned a corner yet. They're not getting to the quarterback like I thought they would this season based off some of their pressure rates last year. They're still kind of middle of the pack in all those defensive statistics. They're winning games. They're beating some solid teams. You know, they're still my pick to win the division. Before the season, I not only took them over 9.5, I took them over 11.5, which is still an option for the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's definitely not dead yet. I mean, you talked about 4-4 for the Steelers. You're looking at 5-3 for the Jaguars. They get the Titans, the Texans. They do get the Bengals, Browns, and Ravens, which are going to be tough games. Then they get the Buccaneers, Panthers, and Titans again. So they have 6 winnable games. Absolutely. If they, you know, win one of those AFC North battles, we're looking at a team that might win 12 games if they take care of business. So I'm not like super worried about the Jaguars regular season. I'm just worried about their next level. So that's why I had them at 11 and you had them at 9. I like them in that range no matter what. All right. Number 9 for me, you had them already at number 11 and I'm keeping the Browns at number 9. Cleveland Browns, number 9. I mean, there's not even a huge argument that needs to be made for the Browns. It's obvious. Their defense is freaking awesome. We're talking about top units in the league. We're talking about the Browns defense. It's undeniable how good their defense is. And every single time that Deshaun Watson gives you an inch, you just feel that much better about it. I saw that look right there, Cody. That was bad word choice by me, huh? But when he gives you an inkling of hope that he looks like an old version of Deshaun Watson, you just think this team has some juice, right? And you see Elijah Moore get a touchdown this week. You see Njoku get a little bit more involved. Amari Cooper is still a good player. Like Kareem Hunt getting more used to this back in the system or whatever it's going to be. They're just going to be really hard to beat. So they go against my idea of like, you have to move the ball in this league to be competitive. They're moving the ball. They're not scoring at a high clip, but they're not a team that like the Jets or the Giants that when you watch them, it's just like, oh, 3 and out and everything else that's better than that is going to be a miracle, right? They are getting first downs. They can still run the ball a little bit, but their defense is awesome. To me, that puts them at number 9.
Yeah, defense is amazing. And I mean, you said it before, like you could flip two spots for them for me, and I really wouldn't bat an eye. But how impressive was it for Deshaun Watson to be 14-14 in the second half to lead that comeback, to start the game the way it does? Second play is a tipped interception back to the house for the Ravens, and you're in Baltimore, correct? They were in Baltimore. And, you know, you're already a 6.5-point dog, and you start it that way, and it's like, oh boy, like are the Ravens really, they go up 14-0. You're like, holy shit, they're really going to just run away with another one. And really, really a lot of credit to Deshaun Watson and to the offense to be able to lead that comeback against one of the best defenses in the league and the Ravens. So if they do move the ball, but I do think there's some if to it, they are certainly a force to be reckoned with. So I like that pick. Number eight. This is all too fitting, right? We have a list of 14 teams. Maybe I should have put them down one more to put them perfectly in the middle tier right there. And I just have to backhand to compliment them because it's the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, they are a team that has looked fantastic against bad teams and hasn't been great against good teams, which is very similar to the Miami Dolphins, who I have just a couple spots above them. I think the difference is the Dolphins. Well, no, really, I guess that's not the difference because the Dolphins' division's as much in the balance. The Cowboys are loaded with talent, just like the Chargers. They're a team that when they've got it clicking, when they got it rolling, you wonder how they lose games. And when they don't, you go, oh, yeah, that's why, because they find a way. And I really think a lot of that is Dak Prescott. That's what I think it is. I think it's Dak being just a little too inconsistent, like I mentioned with Trevor, like you mentioned with the Dolphins. I think Dak is the thing that kind of keeps this team from ultimately making the leap. And look, I think Dak's a fine quarterback. I think he's a good quarterback. He's a top, you know, 15, you know, he's probably a 14 to 17 type of a quarterback, maybe even 13, right? But is that enough to get you to a Super Bowl? In years past, it hasn't been. I still don't think it is because they have to prove it otherwise. And I haven't seen this year enough to say, oh, this one's different. It doesn't look any different to me. It looks like a very good team who goes up against another very good team when you get to the playoffs. They're all very good teams, and I will no longer trust them in that spot. So that's why I've got them right there in the middle, because that's who they are, and that's who they've been.
I have them higher.
I figured. But there's that you had them higher preseason. You liked them preseason.
I did, and I still like them. I'll leave it at that until we get to where I have the Dallas Cowboys, because you know we may have a couple picks before I get over to Dallas. We'll see.
I forgot about that whole part.
So that was your number eight. Yeah. What'd you say?
I forgot about that whole part. You know where I'm supposed to be.
It's all good. It was a great great points by you that I may disagree with in a few picks. We'll see what happens. So for your number eight, you have the Cowboys. For my number eight, I have the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, okay. I have them a little lower.
But a little better, right?
Yeah, that.
Okay. All right, so then we'll move on. And who do you got at seven?
I get the feeling we're going to match up for the first time. I've got Seattle at seven.
Oh, I had Seattle at 12.
Oh,
I already said Seattle way back when.
We just waited to talk about them. So I've got them at seven. You had them before. You take the floor.
Okay, there you go. Seattle Seahawks. Kind of like what you said with the Cowboys. To me, they're a team that's going to take care of business against teams they're supposed to beat right now. You know, they've handled the Commanders. They handled the Cardinals. They handled the Giants, the Panthers, right? Like, they handled all these teams. They did, however, struggle occasionally. They struggled against Commanders this past week. Mm-hmm. They did lose to some teams that are really good. They got smoked by the Bengals. They got beat pretty, you know, handedly, at least offensively, by the Cincinnati Bengals. So to me, it's kind of like similar to the Cowboys, where I like the Seahawks. I like root for the Seahawks for some reason. I've always have since I was a kid. I don't know why. I just kind of root for them a little bit. And I've watched a good deal of them. They struggle to kind of move the ball a little bit this year. They're not as in sync as they were last year. And some of it's Geno Smith, some of it's the offensive line. They're just not quite as crisp as they were. And that's with like a boatload of talent on offense. Like, if you take their position players and put them up against anybody in the league, like, they're not that far off from some of the best teams in the league. Like, they're not quite the Niners, but you could probably put them up against the likes of the Eagles and the Lions and the Ravens often skill positions aren't that great. They're probably behind the Bengals, right? But Tyler Lockett, Jackson Smith and Jigba, DK Metcalf, they got guys. Kenneth Walker is a monster, right? Zach and it Charbonnet just feels like they're waiting. Another guy, Charbonnet, looking good. Like, but it feels like they're just really boom or bust on offense right now, and I can't get behind that. And then from a defense standpoint, you know, they're good. I think they make big plays, but I feel like I haven't seen them do it enough against good teams, right? So their big defensive performances this year have been against the Giants, the Cardinals, right? Like, other than that, like, they're giving up 27 points to the Panthers, 31 to the Lions, 20 to the Browns, 26 to the Commanders. So I think there's just a little bit left to be desired for the Seahawks right now. Going to need to see a lot more juice offensively to make up for that defense being a little bit boom or bust as well.
Yeah, and you know what? I think your list is a real like indicator of an actual power ranking of where you think a team is, like how good you think they are, where I think my list is more, I think the Seahawks are 7 and the Cowboys 8 above some of those teams because they're in a weaker NFC. And I'm thinking of it as, if they get in, what shot do they have to win the Super Bowl? So I'm not like, not that either of us was right or wrong. This was right. The way I think our processes were. And again, I think if I'm doing an actual ranking of like, if they play a regular season game against one another, I probably would have the Browns favored in any game against Seattle. Right. Even right. In Seattle, I'd probably, you know, guess the lines. I put that in the Tic Tacs home for the Browns, right? Probably
like a minus Browns, 1.5. Right? Yeah. Right? I agree.
But the way I orchestrated my list was more towards thinking you're in an NFC where more teams are beatable, where AFC 1-7 is going to be absolutely stacked. Like, there's a world right. where, well, I'm going to hold off for a second on who I think could, you know, end up being a 7 or a 6 in the AFC, but that's kind of where my head was. So a little context there.
And that makes sense to me. And I guess when you're thinking about the playoffs and how it's going to shape out in the AFC, you may have to go through the Bengals, the Ravens, and the Chiefs, where in the NFC, you might get one easier game and then get the Niners or the Eagles. Like, you might only get the Niners or the Eagles. Whereas exactly. in the AFC, it feels like you're getting that level team twice, no matter what. So I understand where you're coming from with that. But yeah, the Seahawks, for as solid as they've been this year, a little bit disappointing to me. So you had them at 7.
Yep.
So I'll move on to my number 7. That's where I have the Miami Dolphins. So I have the Dolphins at 7. You have them at 10. And it's a little bit tough to place the Dolphins, right? So I had them behind the Bengals. Ahead of the Bengals here. And I don't feel great about it. I think part of it is looking at the Achan of it all. When you talked about the Dolphins before, that little combination of Mostert and Achan with Tyreek Hill and Waddle, I think it makes a huge difference. I think their offense is going to look a lot better because as decent as Jeff Wilson is, like, he's not what Achan was for this team at all. This guy was a field turner, game breaker level talent, and they missed that. We thought it was just the Dolphins system, but it turns out Achan might have been doing some of that himself from that speed. Like, we heard it all throughout the first 5 weeks of the year. Oh, the 5 fastest times of any player in the league, 4 of them are Dolphins, right? And Achan's 2 of them. So that's coming back. That's going to be huge for them. Their defense is still not amazing, but it's been better. They're a little bit better than middle of the pack in a lot of the statistics and stuff like that. I think 2 has been really good. I think they've kind of fell short against some bigger competition as well to this point. But I just think the juice that they have, and right now, the health that they're getting is putting me or putting them in my favor at the moment. Whereas the Bengals are dealing with stuff kind of week in, week out. Joe Burrow is actually the more injury-prone quarterback than Tua at this point in time, even though he's been looking better. So I think that the Dolphins deserve to kind of be in this spot. But I could have heard arguments for Bengals 7, Dolphins 8, but that's just how I had it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I mean, I made my Dolphins points before, but they when they get it rolling, they look great, but they got to be a good team, I think, for America to get behind them. So where are we at? 6 now, right?
Yep.
Okay. I think – I was kind of thinking of this as I looked. I think this is the last team out before I have my true Super Bowl contenders, if you will.
Okay. Right?
So let's hear it. 5 down, I think, get to my – I really think this team's going to win. This is the one team that probably has its own tier for me, and it's Detroit at number 6.
Wow. And guess what, Cody?
We do it?
Our first lock. Our first same of the year, of the day. I mean, we both have the Lions at number 6. Look at us. It only took more than halfway through the list for us to be the same on a particular team.
That's got to be a good thing.
So let's hear it. What's your thoughts on the Lions? Why are they the tier below the top tier for you?
Honest to God, I think it's just because they're the Detroit Lions. I really can't look at the roster or the makeup of the team and think, unless, you know, maybe Jared Goff, but he, you know, he's been to a Super Bowl and he's looked good and the offense looks great, especially now that Jahmyr Gibbs is a big part of it and David Montgomery, like with that two-headed monster, because they both ran for a buck plus this week, both over 100, both a touchdown plus. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a bona fide number one. Josh Reynolds isn't a terrible number two. Sam Laporta has, you know, really inserted himself as a top 5 to 7 probably tight end in the NFL already, because that's not a prominent position, to be honest. And the defense, although they, you know, they got scraped by the Chargers. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Great.
The Chargers just did what they wanted, but that was the way that game went. And sometimes you can throw that out and say, that's just the game flow today. Like, that's just how it's going to be. And it's not always an exact indictment on your defense when that happens. And Detroit is very, very good. I think they've got that division. I think they're a team you don't want to take lightly in the playoffs. I think they're a team who can upset one of the top two teams in the NFC. So San Fran and Philly, shocker. But I think they could beat one of them. I don't know that they could beat both. And if their path leads to them playing both, I think that's just a little bit too much. But they are very, very good. I would be surprised. While the teams above them, I would be shocked if they won the Super Bowl. I would just be, you know, surprised if the Detroit Lions won the Super Bowl. They are very, very good. It's no shade or disrespect, but I really think I might just not be able to get past the fact that they're the Detroit Lions, who are going to be a great Thanksgiving game this year. How about that? That's fun.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Right? Thanksgiving should be awesome. And speaking of Thanksgiving, let me go ahead on my list just for a second here, because if you're paying attention, which might be hard for the listeners to be locked in on who has who, where, and what, when, how. But I have the Cowboys above the Lions because, you know, I told you before I had the Cowboys higher. And I told you I had the Lions at 6. So I have the Cowboys at 5, and I have the Lions here at 6. I think those teams are very similar in the sense that they're probably right below that tippy-top tier of NFL teams right now. To me, the Lions haven't proved it yet, right? Even another team that we haven't talked about yet hasn't really proven it yet in the playoffs either, but they've been pretty freaking elite this year so far. You might guess who I'm talking about, but the Lions have not had many impressive wins this year. Okay. I personally don't care about the win against the Chiefs in week one. I just don't. I'm sorry. Like, it just doesn't mean anything to me. Thursday night football, opening night of the year. It's always a terrible game. It was a terrible game again. The Lions won. It was awesome. Good for them. I don't care. That factors zero into why how I'm power ranking the Detroit Lions if they beat the Chiefs in week one. That feels like 2 years ago. All right. So that's for starters. That's just me. I don't care about that win. After that, like, who have they beaten? Their wins right now are the Falcons, Packers, Panthers, Buccaneers, Raiders, and Chargers. That Chargers game is the only impressive win on that list, and they got worked on defense. Absolutely cooked. Okay, so that's what's holding me back with the Lions a little bit. Their defense has done some nice stuff. They've had some big-time plays. It's been exciting. They've beaten nobody this year. They lost to the Ravens and got smoked. Mm. They lost to the Seahawks in week two. I threw out week one. You want to throw out week two? I'll give it to you. It doesn't make their other wins more impressive at all because it's just not. The rest of their schedule is a cakewalk. They got the Bears, Packers, Saints, Bears, Broncos. Saints are the only relevant team in that list, and they're, like, you know, not that great either. Then they get the Vikings. Vikings are pretty good. The game that matters the most for me in the rest of this season for the Detroit Lions and the Dallas Cowboys, they play each other on the day before New Year's Eve, I guess that is, December 30th. At night, prime time, 8:15, Monday Night Football. That is the most important game because that'll prove to me how they're going to look a few weeks later in the playoffs. They're going to be in the playoffs. They might be the number one seed. That'll change how they're going to look as from a power ranking perspective in the playoffs. But to me, for all the impressive stuff that they've done, for as fun as they are to watch, for as much as I love a lot of their guys and love watching them, it's just not enough yet to put them in the top four. They've beaten nobody this year. And the one team that they did beat in the Los Angeles Chargers, 80% of football fans are out on and don't care about. And they had their shortcomings for sure in that game. So this is more of a prove it spot for me with the Detroit Lions. It's not a detriment on them. It's just a, I'm not putting you there until I see you do it against the best of the best. And they haven't had to do that this year.
Yeah, no, you're right. But you got to beat who's in front of you. They've done that.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I don't really have anything to add on Detroit. I think we hit it all there. I like that. I guess I'll say this because you're going to go to Dallas. So we'll somewhat segue with that, right? Because yeah. I could see any matchup between Seattle, Detroit, and Dallas going really any which way. I think those are three teams that are kind of jumbled up as the next best three in the NFC, right? And I think any of those teams could beat any other of the three. Seattle's probably the one least likely, but I don't think either of us would be shocked if they beat one of the two teams that we're talking about in Dallas or Detroit.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I think your reasoning is good there. And I guess you have them kind of bundled up in your list, 6, 7, 8. I have all those AFC teams, 7 through 11, between the Lions and the Seahawks, which is kind of crazy, but I think you'd make the same argument, right? You can see a game with the Seahawks and the Jaguars and the Bills and the Browns and the Dolphins all kind of in that same little tic-tac zone, if you will, right? So I'm kind of agreeing with you with while disagreeing with you, if that makes sense. So yeah,
respectfully,
hit us with your number five. Respectfully.
All right, my number five is my preseason Super Bowl pick. They are the team who I also doubled down on at 28-1 not long ago. And then they went off and rattled wins against San Fran, and I'm missing one. Oh, the Bills. They beat San Fran and the Bills back-to-back, got to 5-3. It's the Cincinnati Bengals, who took a tough L this week, and it's tough for a couple reasons. One, it was a game that at one point was literally in the hands of Tyler Boyd, and he drops the ball in the end zone and becomes a field goal to win it for the Texans, where it could have been a touchdown and maybe it's a different outcome. And, you know, 6-3 and 5-4, especially with the jumbled up AFC, is a huge difference. But the reason I have them five is because if they are in the playoffs, they are the team that you don't want to see. You don't want to see Joe Burrow. If T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase and those, if they're healthy and firing on all cylinders, there's a reason I took them preseason. There's a reason I doubled down when they were 3-3. They are that good. They're good defensively. They have a great coaching staff on the defensive side who makes some unbelievable adjustments second half. I know that's your boy, right? Don't you go to school with his son or something like that?
Well, yeah, his son went to the same high school that I went to and currently work out. So, yeah, Chris Anarumo is the son of Lou Anarumo, who's the defensive coordinator
Lou
for the Bengals.
Lou does a fantastic job over there with that Bengals unit. Yeah, and they have it working on both sides, and they've been to back-to-back AFC championship games. They know how to get it done. They know how to turn it on when they need to. But the reason I don't have them lower, outside of the fact that they're 5-4, they also now have a matchup with the Ravens on a short week to Thursday night, so it'll be tomorrow night when everybody listens to this. And they're going to be without T. Higgins again, and there's a world where they're 5-5, and there's a world where they miss the playoffs entirely. And that's spooky, and you know, but it's realistic. It really is. So I got them at five. I still think if they get in, they're as dangerous as anyone. But because of all the factors I just laid out and how tough it's going to be just to get in, I have to keep them a little bit lower. And I know you had them higher, lower, worse, better.
Yeah, I had them at eight.
Yeah.
Which I don't feel great about, if I'm being honest. If I could redo the list, and perhaps you and I should both get a few little tweakages for when I make this graphic, just because, you know, we didn't get homework on this. We decided we were doing this before we started recording. So maybe for the graphic, we'll allow ourselves some minor tweaks and whatnot. Like, I think I'd put the Bengals above the Dolphins. I have them right below the Dolphins right now, but I feel okay keeping them behind the Cowboys and Lions. So I don't know, because like you said, they're a team that can go ahead and win the AFC North. And they're a team that can go ahead and miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that's like such a weird spot to be in, but you could probably say that about the entire AFC North at this point in time. you know, even you don't want to hear it, but the Ravens too, right? Like, maybe who's to say Bengals go out and win on Thursday night? Are we looking at a sketchy Ravens second half here? I don't know.
Well, the Ravens would be 7-4 if they lose that game.
Yeah.
Right. And the Bengals would move to 6-4. It'd be
pretty hard for them to miss the playoffs. Yeah.
There, I believe, Pete, there is a world where the Bengals beat the Steelers. The Bengals beat the Ravens and the Steelers win, and you're looking at a Steelers top of the AFC North 11 weeks into a season where they have not outgained their opponent once, but it's possible.
That would drive me mad. That would drive me mad.
But, yeah, so Bengals fine.
All right, so that actually, since I already did my Cowboys stuff, I'll just say this. I have the Cowboys at number 5 for me. To me, Dak Prescott's been off the charts recently, right? And right. I think if we're giving credit to the Lions and even the Bengals for that matter, or some of these other teams like the Dolphins for beating teams that they're supposed to beat, Dak Prescott's beating teams he's supposed to beat and doing it with flying numbers. Like, right. He is just putting up silly statistics right now. From some of the analytics on quarterbacks, he's like top 3, top 4, top 5-ish. In all those big time stats currently, even with some of the injuries, no Diggs, no Leighton Vander Esch for the rest of the season. They're number 6 in yards per play on offense, and they're number 4 in yards per play from a defensive perspective. Like, you just don't get that in the NFL very frequently. And Dak Prescott, for all his shortcomings, has looked really good for a lot of portions of this season. So take all those things into consideration. CeeDee Lamb being an absolute monster, them doing this without a pretty consistent running game, right? Like, Pollard's been very mediocre and they're still putting up buckets on people. Like, their point for differential is fantastic. Their schedule is pretty reasonable for the rest of the year. I think Cowboys roll throughout the rest of this season. They're probably not going to get the NFC East division win like I predicted from the preseason, because the Eagles are still that good. But man, I think the Cowboys are right there. And you look at their losses. Do you know who they've lost to this year, Cody, off the top of your head?
I know that they definitely haven't lost to the Giants. they lost they lost to San Fran.
Yep.
They lost to Philly.
Uh-huh. And then one that, like, let's be honest, ridiculous, stupid game that ruined my life because of Survivor picks.
Oh, they lost to the Cardinals, and I had them that week.
They lost to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
So if you give every team one a throwout.
Mm-hmm.
That's their throwout. And then they lost to the Eagles and the Niners. It's nothing to be ashamed of, right? Nothing to be ashamed of. And they, exactly, they played the Eagles tough. They have coming up, they have the Seahawks, they have the Eagles, they have the Bills and Dolphins and the Lions, like I mentioned before. So they have, you know, they have 4 or 5 games that are not easy. You know, you expect them to roll the Panthers, roll the Commanders again. Some of those other games are not easy. If they show up and look good there, man, I am perfectly confident and happy that I had them top 5 at this point in the season, because I think they belong there right now.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm glad you brought up the run game, because it's been nearly non-existent. I mean, in a game they put up 49 points, Tony Pollard still hasn't reached the end zone, still ran for only like 50 yards. And I've been watching that very closely, because one of the seemingly million futures I have is Tony Pollard to run for over 1,000 yards, which – now I feel awful about. And I
have him on 3 fantasy teams.
I would take that pick again and again. The process going in felt all right to me, and it just, you know, it's one of those things that's not going to work out. I also sprinkled him to lead the league in rushing yards. I thought over 1,000 rushing yards in a 17-game schedule was as big a lock. I actually put more on it than I put other bets. But, you know, there's a miss for you.
Yeah, and where's he at right now? Is he's at
500?
He's at 530. Dude, he can get there. He can still get there.
It's not dead. You said it. The run game has looked really, really poor, and it doesn't seem like he has that burst. And you know, maybe he's just not getting to the second level. But
right. And you know what? It's like because I have him in so many fantasy leagues. It's kind of one of those things where, in theory, I should have traded him 4 weeks ago, right? But in theory, he's been pretty bad to mediocre this season. He's almost too good on too good of an offense that, like he's due, right? Like
I hope,
like he's due for a $120. Yeah. He's due for a 40-yard breaker. Like he's just overdue for it. So I don't know. I have faith in Tony Pollard to some extent.
Yep.
Hope. All right, Cody, hit us with number four.
All right, number four. And I almost switched this, but I wanted to stay consistent with my thought process throughout. And so when we do tweaks, there's only one I'm going to make, and it's just to make sure the Bills are in there. I'll probably slide some top teams out. I'm going to keep the Ravens at number four. And again, if I'm power ranking the teams, I might have them even closer to one. But because of the AFC, I digress, and I keep them a little bit higher at number four. But they are equally as good on both sides of the ball. They are doing it without J.K. Dobbins. They look like maybe they're getting something out of Odell. He took a slant to the house, like some real old school, just an aesthetic for us Giants fans as our team gets the whatever beat out of them. There was one, maybe two good things for the Giants. It was the Odell take it to the house, and watching Antonio Pierce beat the Jets was pretty cool too. Smoke cigars in the locker room. That was sweet. But, the Ravens are just, they're clicking. I know they lost this game. It was a little weird. It was before the game, when I made my picks, I called it a law of averages. Like the Ravens kind of couldn't just destroy the entire NFL. It's going to happen. You have to regress to the mean. And event, you know, the Browns end up completely snatching that game from them. But it was a game that I thought the Ravens probably should have won. And those games happen. And again, not an exact indictment on the Ravens. They are really, really good. Again, power ranking wise, I probably put them at two. But to win the Super Bowl, because they have to get through the AFC, that's my theme. I'm sticking with it. But Lamar's been unbelievable playing close. Like his numbers don't show MVP Lamar, but he has been just really, really phenomenal, putting the ball wherever he wants to, taking it and running with it when he's supposed to. The defense has been, again, equally as good. That's maybe as complete a team as they're in the league. And again, from five down to one, I believe all these teams could win the Super Bowl, and the Ravens are just right in the smack middle of that.
We are in lockstep again. I also have the Ravens at four, so good job by us. And I think I feel exactly the same. Like I think pound for pound right now, I could argue that they're number one, two, or three. But for some reason, and for whatever reason, the Ravens have this vibe around them. It feels like they can lose to anyone, whereas you don't feel that with our top three. So our top three in some order has the Chiefs, Eagles, and Niners in it for both of us, right? So we're going to see if we overlap specifically there. But where you just feel that much more comfortable with those other teams, Chiefs, Eagles, and Niners, to take care of business, where the Ravens still have this little bit of like, oh, we made a mistake. Oh, we took this quarter a little light, and now we just lost for no reason, right? Like, they still have that little bit there, a little bit frustrating, even though, like, eye test stats from the defensive side, the offense, like, not even needing to do that much and still being really good and fun to watch. Like, they hit all the boxes. There's just that one intangible box that's, like, a little bit, like, harder to check off. For some reason, they have these weird games where they get stuck in the mud or couple turnovers, foot off the gas, whatever it is, there's something about them. So that's their only indictment, is very much hard to grasp and put numbers to, but that's why I have them at four instead of two or three.
It's funny that you say that. Like, I don't know that I actually do feel more comfortable with these three teams, because that's the way the NFL's been, is that they're like all of them, and so now we know who they are. But San Fran, if they're not ahead of a game, if they fall behind, I don't feel good about. The Eagles have taken care of business, but they haven't been all that impressive. They something seems a little bit off, and maybe that's just like, hey, they're 8-1 and they haven't looked good. What are you talking about? And the Chiefs too. And so the fact of the matter is there's a reason all five can win. And I guess there's a part of that that's all five can lose, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So how about this, Cody, for these final three, since we know what they are, just hit me with 3-2-1 right now. Okay. Hit me with 3-2-1.
I kind of just did, and I did it by accident, but three is San Fran, two is the Eagles, and one is the Chiefs.
Wow. Okay. So we only overlap on one of those picks.
Wow. Well, no, that makes sense. It's either one or
I have four, the right? Chiefs. I have the Chiefs. No, it's two. I have the Chiefs at three.
Okay.
The Eagles at two and the 49ers at one.
Oh, I think you should make your case first.
All right, here we go. So I'll make my case for the Niners to start, and then I'll go to the other teams. The Niners lost three in a row. Completely uncanny for them, right? It just shouldn't happen to them. It hasn't happened to them. They've been way better than that. But it happened. It is what it is. Purdy threw some interceptions. It got a little ugly there. Got talking about Purdy, if he's going to be, you know, falling off the wagon a little bit. They lost to three pretty good teams. They lost to the Browns. They lost to the Vikings, which was the biggest shock, and they lost to the Bengals. Three pretty good teams, the Vikings being the worst of the bunch. They were missing Deebo Samuel. They were missing Trent Williams. They had a banged up Christian McCaffrey. That team healthy, to me, is still the most effective, the most consistent, the most dangerous team in the NFL. And that wasn't the case last year because the Chiefs were still the most consistent, most effective team on offense, and they're just not right now, in my opinion. When Deebo Samuel's in the game, Brandon Ayuk is better. Brandon Ayuk's really good. He is so much better with Deebo Samuel in the game. George Kittle is always really good. He's even better with Deebo Samuel in the game. Christian McCaffrey is always good. It makes more sense when they're all together. And now that they're back and Trent Williams is back at left tackle, they just make the most sense to me. They're the most trustworthy. They're going to move the ball every single game. And that hasn't even scratched the surface of their defense, which just added Chase Young to the mix, who's been playing the best football of his career. So they dominated the Jaguars off the bye. It made sense. They're going to dominate mostly the entirety of the schedule, in my opinion. Their biggest games are at Eagles, and then they're home against the Ravens in week 16. Two really exciting games, but the Niners, to me, when healthy, are the most reliable, most explosive, most impressive bunch that I watch in the league this year. And that doesn't even mention how awesome their defense undeniably is.
Yeah. I mean, look, top three is nothing to be upset about.
Right, we're splitting hairs.
Right? I got them three. All the things you mentioned is why I was so bullish on them going into the Jacksonville game, because when they are right, when they can play from in front, when Trent's back and Debo's back and McCaffrey especially is healthy, that offense can just be a nightmare. And again, you mention all those things and you're not even mentioning what a sick unit they have defensively with Nick Bosa. And I'd say maybe the most underappreciated defensive player in the league in Fred Warner. I mean, he doesn't get the conversation like Micah Parsons or TJ Watt or Myles Garrett, who all 100% deserve it. But Fred Warner is just everywhere all the time, always in the right place. Like, I think I've said this before, but like, if you've never watched football and watched for the first time, you'd think that guy was the best player in the league. You'd be like, holy crap, there he is again. So seriously, it's crazy. But the reason I have him at three is because I get very nervous of them playing from behind. Shanahan has the record of it was some number that's ridiculous. Maybe you know it, but it was like 0-28 when they were a 10-point down 10 points going into the fourth, which like that happens every week in the NFL. A team goes down in the fourth quarter by 10 points and they come back and win the game. That seemingly happens once a week. But for a team like that to not do it, that is what scares me a little bit. But again, you're splitting hairs. They're unbelievable. So San Fran, I love. Eagles, I think we hit on like in a way, right? I mean, they're 8-1 and haven't played their best ball. I think they'll say that. I actually heard Jason Kelce on the Thursday night broadcast say that. And that's 100% true. Their secondary is a little bit suspect. They're not the team. I don't know. They're really good. They're 8-1. And even though it hasn't looked amazing, you can make that case for all these teams as to how they haven't looked amazing. So the Eagles are, to me, the top team in the NFC then. And the Chiefs just, it's so simple for me. They have to be dethroned or I will not take them off that throne. They're number one because they have Pat Mahomes and they have Andy Reid. And even though it hasn't looked great, again, they are finding new ways to win. And I like that the point that Bill Simmons brings up about this. And like, he always kind of reverts back to the Patriots dynasty where he says, this is like the last piece of a dynasty. is to be able to win in so many different ways. Like, the offense isn't clicking. Well, now the defense is a top five unit. And though the defense doesn't have it today, well, Mahomes can go for 370 and three touchdowns on any given day. So even though the receivers are a giant question mark, they are the Kansas City Chiefs until proven otherwise. They are number one for me.
And this goes pretty steadfast against how I just did the quarterback ranking. So in the quarterback ranking episode last week, I still had Mahomes number one. Mm. So in theory, I would have the Chiefs number one here because the Mahomes is the Chiefs, right? But also, it hasn't looked right. Like, it hasn't seemed crisp. It hasn't been expected, right? It's almost to the point with the Chiefs offense right now where it's actually a little shocking when they finally break that big play. It happens all the time. It happens every week, more or less, where Pacheco takes a screen pass for 40 yards. Kelsey goes for a buck 40 because Tay Swift is in the building. Like, it still happens for them. Right, Mecole Hardman hasn't done anything since he's back, but like it feels like it's still working. It just doesn't have the juice that it once had. That being said, they're still ranked top 10 in yards per play on offense. They're technically tied for fifth. So it's still working. It just doesn't feel like they have that extra gear. So you mentioned the Niners not having that comeback ability like some other teams do, like the Bengals do and some of those other teams do. To me, I'm curious to see if the Chiefs have that comeback ability. Can they go down 14 points still, or like they did against the Texans in that playoff game, what was it, 20-something points, and just freaking magic it back into a victory for themselves? That is what scares me and what let me put them at number three. They still deserve to be in the top three, obviously. That's why I have them there. But yeah, I'm nervous. I just don't know who to trust. I don't know who to expect to make plays. The only people to me that I can rely on from a Chiefs perspective is Pacheco and Kelsey. And I think not having one other receiver that you can say, oh, he's getting 65 yards. We're not asking for 120. We're asking for 65. And you can't point to anybody. It ain't Rashee Rice. It ain't Tony. It ain't Scantling. Right? Like
Sky Moore.
So that's just what leaves me at number
he's
three.
In the sky, yeah. Rashee Rice is probably your best bet. And what does that say? But That's the case, I think, with and against all of these. Probably four, the Bengals are a little bit different, but still the Bengals at five. Like, all of those teams that I think you and I have as contenders, and you could throw Dallas in there too, there is a big worry with every single one of them, and that's what's made this NFL season so hectic.
Yeah, and it's so fun. And you know, even the bad games are exciting. Like that Bills Broncos game was like, it was I said it was drunk. Like, it was such a wasted game. So drunk. And I enjoyed every moment of it that I watched.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why. It was technically so bad, but it was so fun still.
That's our football.
Wow. All right. That's it, Cody. We did it. Let's recap this real quick. I'll run through them. I have your list and my list. So for your list, well, actually, you have one change on your list that I might not have here. So
okay,
you took out who?
Yeah, I'll make the change right now. I had so what I'm going to do is bump teams up and slot the Bills in. So I'm going to go Vikings 14 now. I'll go Steelers 13. I'm going to go Bills at 12. So essentially, I bumped the Saints to, say, 15, right? And then move the Vikings up, the Steelers up, slot the Bills in between Steelers and Browns. And the rest is all the same.
Got it. Cool. So you got Saints at 15, Vikings, Steelers, Bills, Browns, Dolphins, Jaguars, Cowboys, Seahawks, Lions, Bengals, Ravens, Niners, Eagles, Chiefs. That's your top, power rankings there. And for myself, I got Chargers and Texans at 14 and 13, Seahawks, Jaguars, Bills, Browns, Bengals, Dolphins, Lions, Cowboys, Ravens, Chiefs, Eagles, Niners. So why don't we just do this right now? Super Bowl prediction. Who you got?
Oh, wow.
Who versus who? Don't tell
me. All right, I'm sticking.
Yeah, why not? We're saying goodbye.
I'm 100% sticking with the Bengals to come out of the AFC. If they get in, I feel good about it still. And they're going to win the Super Bowl, and they are going to beat – I can't take the Eagles. I just can't do that. So let's go. I'm going to go with Bengals over San Fran.
I'm going San Fran over Baltimore.
Cool with me. The Harbaugh Bowl. If they play each other, Pete, I still think the Harbaughs are matching up. No, I still think they are. Yeah. Jim Harbaugh's going to be on the sideline. My brain won't
put him out there.
Anything else.
It's going to be like, I don't know if you watch like WWE, WWF when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah.
You know when like the lights would shut off and then like they turn back on, the Undertaker's in the ring? They're going to shut the lights off because the lights went off in that Super Bowl. Shanahan's going to be gone. It's just going to be Jim Harbaugh with khakis on.
That was really well done. You know what? I know that wasn't prepared, but that was very well done. Because when you said the lights went off, I'm like, oh, the lights went off in that Super Bowl. I mean, that really came all together. Very well done.
Jim the Undertaker Harbaugh. That's what we got. All right, Cody. Good stuff, bro. I appreciate you as always. This was a great episode. Had a lot of fun, and I hope you guys did too, listening wherever you are, in your car, at home, at work. Who cares? Walking the dog. I know that's what Cody and I will be doing, listening while walking the dog. We'd be doing that a lot. Hopefully you are too. Subway Sports Talk on Apple Podcasts app, Spotify. You can watch or listen on Spotify. Also on YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review. Drop a comment on the YouTube. Hit the notification bell so you know when we drop new stuff. And last but not least, on social media, at Subway Sports Talk on X, Instagram, TikTok. All right, that's all we got. Cody O'Connor, Pete Kennedy, we'll talk to you on Friday with Week 11 picks. Cheers.